the Welt says that there's two groups of people. There are the pessimists and the optimists, glass half full, glass half empty. Let's say you're from the glass half empty crowd, right? So you're maimon, you're a person who believes in the nitzkis of Klal Yisrael, the chashivas of avodah, and the Beis Hamikdash is in the hands of the avodah. The avodah has stopped. The korbanos are not being brought anymore. So it's very depressing. People are being misyavnim. They're changing their approach to Yiddishkeit, to the world, to life. Mm-hmm. Many people like that. There's a handful of people not joining. Well, you're from the glass half empty crowd. Right, so that's, what does that accomplish? Just for people. The Beis Hamikdash, not only is it, there's pierces in the walls, it's tamei, it's they brought a chazer in on the Mizbeach. I mean, you know, you imagine the newspaper articles, you know, the editorials every single day about how bad it is. Finally, they have some success in the battlefield. Now, the Pashas, the Mochoma, according to the Megillas, continued after they went into the Beis Hamikdash, even after what we call Chanukah. There were still wars. Eventually, the children of Matisyo were eventually killed. And they're looking, and they want to light the menorah, and they cannot find the pach. They can't find the pach. Every single one is tamei. The smell of chazer is there. The place is a mess. It's tamei. I mean, it's got to be depressing. So you have one, you know, in every group, there's always one guy, you know, who's like, you know, the optimist, you know, says, "I found the pach." You say, "What? One night's worth? What's going to do for us? One pach?" I mean, like, come on. It can't be very uplifting. One pach. One night's worth. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's coming on? You know, you do what you got to do. You know, at least one. You can be marked one day's worth. The menorah is tamei. They have to make a special menorah. And they take one pach's worth, one night's worth. We can relate to the despair, the despondency, the frustration, the lack of hope. The leadership of Klal Yisrael has failed. The Kohanim Gadolim, for the most part, were misyavnim. The first has a beautiful thought about the word nes. We saw nes the kabbetz gol yoseinu. So, what is that word? We saw nes the kabbetz gol yoseinu. It's the same word. It doesn't mean a miracle. Or whether it means a flag, a dagel, a post. He says you're going down. The person's traveling here to New York, and his GPS is not working so well. And his phone is not working so well, and he doesn't have a good sense of direction. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but it happened to me once or twice. You know, the roads are confusing. Before the world of GPS, as a result of those type of things, the roads are confusing. You're not sure if this entrance is the entrance for north or for south. You get on the road, and you need to go north. You're going for about 5 miles. All of a sudden, there's a sign. It says you have 95 south. It's the Verstehtzel, the next exit, which is about to come. You know, it's an exit only with no entrance back on. You know, that type of thing. That's part of life, right? It's very important. You get on that road, and you're not 100% sure. You see the sign 95 north. You're very happy. I'm going in the right direction. A person goes through his life. A person goes through his day. Am I on the right path? Am I going where I'm supposed to be going? Am I accomplishing what I'm supposed to be accomplishing? Don't know. And then there's this flash of light. There's this moment where you have that clarity that things make sense. That's what a nace is. It's a signpost. A person goes through the tkufas, which are difficult tkufas in Klal Yisrael, and we're not sure, are we really accomplishing too much over here? Is it really working? Is it really doing anything? Most of Klal Yisrael is still at the Eved Zor. There was actual fights between Jews to Jews. The Beis Hamikdash is still in a shambles. There's tomb all over the place. You know, did we really accomplish anything? We did a little bit. Like, is it valuable? The war is still raging. So there's a signpost. You're on the right path. You're doing well. You're on the right road. That's what a nes is. It's that message that it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be you solved all the problems. It doesn't mean you have figured out all the issues. You don't have to correct everything to say that you're worthy of the Russian's relationship with you. So this, the eternal optimist walks in and says, "What are you talking about? We found the Pach. We'll accomplish a mitzvah for one day's worth." So instead of saying, "Yeah, it's a, what is the worth?" We say, "What do you mean? It's a mitzvah's one day's worth." But they weren't planning on 8 days. They're planning on doing a mitzvah for one day. And what'll be then? So we can't. But what are we going to accomplish? We can and we should accomplish. And that's valuable. It's not perfect. It's not great. It's not a menorah of Zov. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be perfect. The Russian sends a nace, he sends a signpost, that's okay. But Chassidusha, you know, they point out that the end of the din is Hanukkah. Do they mean this or not? I don't know. But maybe the way we're saying, you know, the Litvak someone says, you know, like, not only did you have to be good to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to Lashana Rabba, but if you can't hold on till Hanukkah, you're really up the creep. You know, that's the Litvak says. The Chassidus says, you know what? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur was a high. Lashana Rabba was Gevaldik. You know, it's been a month and a half. You haven't been doing too much. Do you have anything left? Something episode, something you're holding on to? You know what? That's the Chassidus Adin. Chanukah says, Epis Vos. Most of Klal Yisrael has failed. The war is still raging. The Beis Hamikdash is in shambles. But Epis Vos, you know what? You accomplished something, also good. That's the Gemara Chassidus. That's what the din is on. That something is good. Something is working. Something you've accomplished. Something you've changed. Doesn't have to be this major scintillating accomplishment. Yafta Lakim Yefis, the Yofi of Yavim. I had a conversation today. I was interviewed for this video, so came out of the conversation, and I have had a secular background. So he asked me, like, you know, what ways do you feel that your secular background has any impact on, you know, on what you do, etc. I didn't know how to respond to that. Whatever. It just, there's this concept in physics called the grand unified theory. Right? It's one of the biggest challenges of physics, which they have, is that there's the particle physics versus quantum physics. There's theories, etc. And they're trying to figure out a way to make it this grand unified theory, which should make everything fit. Now, if your goal in life, these are the philosopher physics philosophers. You know, they're trying to get some alumnus over here. It's a mahalach. We learn a sugya. You want a mahalach which answers everything in the sugya. That pasha makes the whole sugya make sense. You know, Rav Chaim Brisker came along and he has this beautiful sefer. The interesting thing about Rav Chaim Brisker is, like, you know, most of the pieces over there are hazmah between the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. So at the end of the day, there's no final answer. There's machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. So what's takap shat? A machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. That's okay. We don't have to for the Gantzazach. If you can come up with the grand unified theories, you're going to have fame, fortune, you're going to have the sipuk and nefesh, pashut, everything fits. That's the yofi that Yavin wants to accomplish. Mm-hmm. It has to be perfect. Right? So the body has to be perfect. What is the greatness of mankind? The greatness of mankind is the fact that they can think. And therefore, the only real person of significance in mankind is the philosopher, because the philosopher knows what makes mankind unique. So to Aristotle, he thinks. Summarily, he's the apex, the paradigm of what mankind is supposed to be. Because he thinks. And if he could come up with the mouth, the mouth, everything, now we accomplish something. Let's hear mouth of one thing. No fame and fortune over there. There's a fascinating Ramban in his Hakdama to Sefer Mochamash. So what's Mochamash? The Rif wrote the Sefer which he called Halachas. The name of the Sefer was called Halachas. The Balamor wrote Hasagis on the Halachas. And the Rabban wrote a Sefer to fan for the tainas of the Balamor on the Rif. So Pashti is coming to save the Rif, right? You know, show how the Rif is right and the Balamor is wrong. So he writes this fascinating Hakdama. He writes over there that what's extraordinary and unique about our Torah is that there's no Raya Chateches. There's no final proofs. I mean, so what are you saying? So maybe Balamor is right? I mean, as he writes, he doesn't spare words. He's very pretty strong that the Balamor is wrong. But that's your Hakdama to the Sefer. The goal of the Sefer is what? The Masber, how the Balamor is wrong and the Rif is right, and I'll prove it to you. No, you can't prove it. It's a theory. Maybe. It sort of works. That's the godless of Torah, he says. Our goal is not Lecha Ovin Lecha Ligmor. You're not going to figure out all of Torah. I'm not going to have a mahalak to be masber a sugya from beginning to end. Everything in the sugya makes sense. If a person tells you that, either he's a goy nadir or he missed the sugya. Because something in the sugya will not fit. And that's okay. That's not the goal. The goal is to get most of the sugya. The goal is to get something out of the sugya. The goal is to get one prat out of the sugya that makes that you understood. But that's not yofi. It just doesn't have that yofi to it. And Yavin is into yofi. Yavin is into the grand unified theory. Yavin is into this. We have to have a mahalak, which everything, otherwise it's garnished. Somebody suggested that says, the idea of a chelik is this shkenkot tezach. We don't believe in chalakim. It's either the whole thing or nothing. They're a chelik. It's not all theirs. You know, I got to be the winner, the one who can't. I got to be the guy on top. No, it's okay. You can also have a chelik. So you know what? So we'll share a chelik. I don't have to be the perfect example of mankind to say I made it. Yafta the kinyan yefes v'yishkemar leshem. Shem is not the oldest. Yefes is the oldest. Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Yehuda, David, Bedavka, not, you know, the Bechor. We don't have to be the perfect one, the best one, to be okay. Even the name Chanukah, Chinuch, Rashi says, Chinuch is to introduce something into an Avodah. The Lashon of you, when you introduce something into an Avodah, it's called Chinuch. Now, so being introducing something into a void, it's a chinuch, means you're not there. It's a process. It's a process which will take days, months, years, a lifetime. That's what chinuch is. Chanukah is chinuch. We're not there. We're not perfect. We're on the road. We have a signpost. We're on the road. So, but you travel the road, depending on how fast you go, but you travel the road a mile at a time. And once in a while, you get lost, and you stop to take get gas, and you go come back to the wrong side. You have something to eat, you take a rest, but you're on the road. As long as you get back onto the road, you're okay. So the Chanukah is that we're not perfect. we're nowhere near perfect. Not as an individual, not as Klal Yisrael. We're nowhere near being perfect. But that's okay. The person looks back and says, you know, I was inspired Yom Kippur time, I was inspired Rosh Hashanah time, I was inspired Shana Rabba, Shemini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. I got it. Came the winter, you know, it's long, it's tiring, it's dark, something left, something you could hold on to. There's something you're going to walk away with. It's very significant that the mashal which we use, the symbolism which we use in Hanukkah is or. In multiple places we have accounts of the matmina or derech harbim in a chershev. A little bit of or is derech harbim in a chershev. You don't need a lot. But it puts you on the road. It puts you in a mahalach. It puts you, you're going somewhere, you're doing something. And we said over a mashal from the tells a Rav. Imagine that you have a soccer field covered with sesame seeds. The height of one sesame seed high. So you almost can't see it because it's very small. But the reality is that a soccer field covered with sesame seeds, there's millions and millions of sesame seeds there. Now you add another layer of sesame seeds on top of it. Do you see the difference? Come on, not. Because it's not that much higher. If you say a sesame seed is, you know, it's an eighth of an inch tall, so now it's a quarter of an inch off the ground. But in reality, what did you add? Millions of sesame seeds. It says, we look at a human being in the physical sense, very limited being, very little impact, a little significance. You look at the inside of the person, the infinite neshama that he has, the connection that he has to Klal Yisrael, to the Bria, and there is this mashahu of change. What do you add? You didn't add nothing. You added millions of sesame seeds. We know al pi Kabbalah that every neshama of Klal Yisrael is connected to the whole Bria. So a mashahu of a change of a person changes the world. The whole world grew a mashahu better. But when you spread that out over the whole universe, that's a lot. That's significant. He says, and the mashal Betzim does not describe the nimshal. Because by the mashal, the first layer of sesame seeds remains the same. And you're adding something on top of it. But the reality of a person, every mashu that you changed doesn't just add something. It changes how you look at the world. It changes how you deal with things. It changes every part of you. It changes what's below, what was there beforehand also. So it is significant. It is tremendously significant. What is it? A mashu. The guy says, you know, I can't sit a whole first Seder room. I can't. You know, I can't either. That's why I became Rosh Kol. Right? There were excuses to go fundraise instead. Right? Right. Anyway. So, you know what? I can handle a half an hour straight. Maybe you can handle 30, you know, so half an hour, I set my alarm clock, half an hour, I go out and take my break. Not a bad idea. Remember the Miller Zatzal, there was a Talmud, when he was Mashkiach in Chaim Berlin, one day he walks in with a piece of cake. Big piece of cake. He goes up to Bacher and says, you know what? You need to take a break, middle of a Seder, you need a piece of cake. And he says, I'm going to tap you on your shoulder when it's middle of a Seder. I'm going to tell you, go out, take a 5-minute break, and eat a piece of cake. You need that break. You will learn much better if you take that break. Now, if you ever listen to Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal's Shmuzin, he was not known as a softy. Like, he was known as, like, quite intense. Quite kitsoni. Extremist. See, what's up with the Baruch? He says, take a break, Mila Zeder. Like, whoa, you know. Okay, so, but you know, he's a Slobodkinik, so it was on the clock, you know. So, the first week, you take the break after 35 minutes, after 40 minutes, whatever the number is. Maybe, you know, after a little while, you know what, I can go 45 minutes straight. You know what? I'm not going to stop speaking Lashon Hara the whole day. But I can learn in certain situations to control myself. Okay, maybe I can do a little bit better than that. You know what? I have problems getting up in the morning. You know what? I have problems. My language isn't as clean as I would like it to be. You know what? I get involved in things I shouldn't get involved in. You know what? I have a lot of things that I don't do right. A mashu, more I could do. Now, what does a mashu accomplish? Good old Yetzer Hara. It's garnished. In the world of Kitzonius, in the world of Yavan, that it's a true statement. In the finite world of Yavan, which is Kitzonius, which is physical, people come, people die, it's not significant. What difference did you make? You walked the face of the earth for 70 years, who cares? What did you do? Unless you really are way up there, and there's 7.5 billion people on the face of the earth, do you make a difference? The fact that you were here. Kilohoyu. In a finite world, Yavan is right. Unless you're the best, you're the scarnished. How many people make it into the newspaper? In the world of Panemius, of a neshama, which is infinite, which is Ein Sof, a mashu of Ein Sof is Ein Sof. A mashu of a change of your neshama, a mashu of your change of connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the world has a purpose, it has a value, it has a function, that there's an impact, there's a difference. A mashu of a change is a whole new ballgame. So the nekuda of chinuch, that I'm starting a process and I'm going to get there and I'm going to make a little bit of a difference. Yavan poo-pooed the whole thing. It's ridiculous. This whole thing is ridiculous. Unless you're going to make it all the way to the end, you're going to be the winner. They have this thing called Olympics, right? You know, right? So there's thousands of athletes that go there. There used to be a show, The Wide World of Sports, and the introduction always was you know, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. So the guy runs a mile, 3 minutes, 52.07 seconds. I mean, it's phenomenal, right? It's less than a 4 minute mile. 50 years ago, they didn't even such a thing could happen. But somebody else ran it at 3 minutes and 51.59 seconds. You lost, buddy. What do you mean I lost? I ran a 3:52.07 mile. Not good enough. The agony of defeat. That was the introduction. Every introduction to the world of sports was the agony of defeat. I played the best game I could play. I made 50. I got the ball into the basket in this game 52 times. He got it 53 times. I lost. I mean, that's an accomplishment. And I happen to be a little bit shorter than him. Even it's really an accomplishment. You know, he's 8'9", so it's not very hard. You know, like I'm 5'6", you know? But who cares? But the agony of defeat. That's Olympics. That's Yavan. Either you win or you lose. You made it to the top or du bist garnished mit garnished. Right? This guy they put on their shoulders, they give him a take-or-take parade, and you, they give you the consolation prize, they say, I feel bad for you. Ha ha ha. You know, the sob story with it. You know? That's not Yiddish guy. We were talking about like one pach in a dirty base of mikdash, a tomidika base of mikdash, for one day. Wow, we're celebrating it. A mashu of an accomplishment, you know. I had such great plans for myself from the Yom and the Royim, and like a little bit is left. A mashu is left, or I need to recreate that mashu. That's the Gemara Hadin. The Gemara Hadin is that you did not let yourself fall into that despair. So I don't know. I didn't know how to answer that guy, but you know, how the impact of my secular background. Is it good or bad? I don't know. Okay. Yeah. So how do we hold on to that? How do we hold on to that? How do we hold on to that mashu? How do we convince ourselves that a mashu makes a difference? So one of the biggest challenges is the measure against somebody else. And that's exactly what sports is about. You're competing. That's the world of Yavud. You're not competing against anybody else. You're competing against yourself. If I define myself as, well, the guy next to me learns more, it's like, why should I try? That's it's very discouraging. If I measure myself by against somebody else, I'm never going to win. There's always somebody better than you. There's this phenomenon which they talk about, this challenge, you know, these in the top colleges in the country, they have this issue. So who gets into the top college in the country? The top students is of the high schools. Okay, so you're in high school X, you know, there's 1,000 kids, 2,000 kids, 3,000 kids, you know, and you're one of the top kids in the school. Now, there's a lot of high schools in this country. Right? So all of the top five now all go to Harvard. So now you're not competing against those 3,000 kids back in your school you came from. You're competing against the top five of all the schools in the country. You're not going to be number one in that class of 1,000 at Harvard. The only one guy is going to be number one. Well, back in school where you came from, you were like number one, you know, number two, you know, like, you know, like, you know. Not anymore. And people can't handle it. They fall apart. Because they got so used to the recognition, the adulation of being like wonderful, because they're the guy who gets the best grades and da 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 da. All of a sudden, they're competing against the top minds in the country. Somebody's not going to win. The answer is, but there was a mistake to start with. Never measure yourself against anybody else. There's no such measuring stick. It doesn't exist in reality. In the physical world, it does. The physical world is just finite, etc. In the world of infinite, we're all infinite. And mashu infinite is also infinite. My neshama is just as valuable as yours. My neshama is just as big as yours, because those are things that are smaller neshama. In the world of panimi, it's impossible to measure yourself against anybody else. But the Rosh puts us in a world where there's also certain, we live with both. And we live with the yavan. There is also a thing as a misbavel, or a misadem, or a misporas. There was misyavim. There were Jews who became misyavim. They changed into yavanim. They accepted the philosophy of yavan. It became part of how they looked at the world. There was Jews who fell to the Yetzirah of Bavel, to the Yetzirah of Paras. But they didn't change. They knew it was wrong, and you get fakapt. Paras was taiva. So I hold that the purpose of life is taifa. So no, they didn't say that. I know it's wrong, but the Maisa taifa is taifa, so you get fakapt. Bavel is about power and control and, you know, cruelty. Like, you know, the Jews didn't fall into that. Someone got, you know, it's a Maisa. You know, it gives you a lot of good things in life, you know, power and cruelty, Elizabeth. Misyavin was. It's harder to understand the difference between chitzonus and panimius. To understand that's not how you define life by what seems obvious in front of you. And success is an all or nothing proposition. And may I'm not going to accomplish it. That's very hard because we are physical also. We do have limitations. We do see ourselves as limited. And we do succumb to that measure many, many times of I measure myself against other people and it's either all or nothing. If I'm not going to be at the top, it's very hard to be motivated to try. And the Kudo Chanukah is don't let yourself fall into that trap. Don't let yourself be convinced that I should measure myself against somebody else, that I should measure myself against all or nothing. If I'm not going to be the best, what do I accomplish? What do I gain by another minute of learning? What do I gain by another minute of focusing on davening? Another word of Lashon Hara that I didn't say. Then one more time I was more careful with my eyes. So, what do I gain with that? At the end of the day, I still do that veira. I still am not perfect. True. In the world of infinites, every accomplishment is an infinite accomplishment and has infinite value. And that's what kind of that ma'at min ha'or, that mashu of or, which represents something which is not physical, it's ephemeral, is d'chah harba min ha'cheshuv.